So I think I have finally figured Janis Gilley out. You know, she can pretend to be a fan of this kind of music or a supporter of that kind of music, and I think she has wide tastes, but I think I have figured out that at her very core, Janis Gilley, the Escambia administrator, is an 80s hair metal girl. I think that's right. Am I wrong, Janis, or do I have you pegged right?
You got me pegged right.
go North End. I love it. All right. Very good. Well, Janis, welcome back.
Mullet. Go Mullet.
That's exactly right. North and South End, right? All right. Well, welcome back to the show. Obviously, good to have you. Meeting today in the County Commission. There's a couple of things on here that I think are really interesting, but there's one that had actually skipped over my notice, and you made me aware of it, and so I wanted to give you a chance to talk about it. One of the items is looking at an emergency radio system upgrade for the Eric Gilmore, the Department of Emergency Management, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that is so important whenever we're having emergencies is for, obviously, communication. But it's not just communication with each other. It's communication across different platforms. And we've not had upgrades in a really long time. And so it's extremely important to make sure that not only do we have, you know, radios that work properly, but that they're able to communicate with other entities and agencies, especially, like, you know, whenever you've seen certain cell towers and things like that go down.
Right,
so we want to make sure that we have the best equipment. And it's one of those things that's not really thought of until you really need it. So I'm glad about that.
Well, it's like, you know, I've been thinking about this recently that, you know, we like to complain about roads and when they're wrong and when the projects are bad and when the signs and the lights are out. But most of the time, you appreciate driving along the roads because you never notice it whatsoever. And it's the same thing with, you know, if like you're watching a movie and you never notice the sound and light people because they're doing their job right. And it's the same thing with emergency management. You don't think about it till it's not right. And when it's not right, it's a huge problem. And that's why we want to make sure to fix that. So that's good news that we're going to be able to get that newer radio system, hopefully today. Also, one of the things, Santa Rosa County voted recently to allow their local state of emergency to sunset. They basically decided that they don't need it anymore. The special powers that it gives to the county administrator are not prevalent anymore. And so they're going to let that LSC expire. That's, again, on the agenda today. What's your recommendation? Do you feel like you still need it in Escambia County?
I have, so the chairman has been continuing to sign that for a couple of issues. I have not necessarily recommended that at the last board meeting. However, there were a couple of issues that he wanted to make sure got taken care of prior to the expiration. So I believe the current one expires on April 12th, and it will be up to the board to determine if they want to extend it beyond that.
Okay. All right. So obviously that's their choice, but you don't particularly see a big need for it. You're not opposed either, but just the driving force behind having it originally, a lot of that stuff has kind of become obsolete at this
now,
point, right?
And are you talking about Sally?
No. Related to COVID.
Oh. The only thing related to COVID is, so we did say that we would keep that one going until the 1st of May. Once everybody has had an opportunity to have vaccinations and things like that. Because as you know, we still continue to have pop-up clinics.
Mm-hmm.
Sally is the one that I was referring to in terms of the chairman. We did recommend that we would keep the COVID until, like I said, the 1st of May.
Okay.
And I think that meets not only the presidential but also the governor's, you know, just making sure the timeline that we've had, most people have had an opportunity for vaccinations, and we shouldn't have a rush on any clinics.
Very good. There's a lot of roads projects or potential projects that are, I mean, it's always like that in Escambia County. There's three in particular, two that are on the agenda today, one that's just come up recently. Let's start with the one that's kind of the farthest along in the process. Where are we at on the Perdido Key Drive multi-use path? I mean, I just haven't been out there to Perdido, so I can't lay my eyes on it, but where are we at in that process?
Yeah, so the western phase between the Alabama state line and the west side of the state park, that construction started in February last year, and the east phase from the west side of the state park to River Road is currently in the final design. And so we're hoping that construction will start in late October, and then it's expected to take about 8 months after that. You know, my goal is that there will be a walkable, bikeable Perdido Key by the 2022 summer.
Okay. Wow, great. I mean, that's great news. Okay. And then the other one that I wanted, well, I guess it's kind of connected to that. The intersection, the light slash roundabout, I just, again, I've kind of lost track of where we are on those decisions and the project itself. On Perdido Key
Oh,
Drive.
Yeah. So I think there's I think they're fixing to have another town hall out on Perdido Key to kind of give a status update on the design. As you know, that they did have Commissioner Underhill had a town hall out there, I guess probably about a year ago, or maybe last summer, May, June, and the citizens did recommend a circle there at Johnson Beach. And so they're going to go back out now and I think display the have another follow-up conversation and kind of show them the design.
All right, good. Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that coming up in the future, as you said. Mm-hmm. The second one that I wanted to ask you about, and this one is still more in the not quite design phase, but that's what part of the, I think the vote today is about, is approving to move forward into the design phase. Longleaf Drive, which, of course, has a bunch of schools on it, and, you know, you got the UPS place there that sends all the trucks out every day and connects over to the west side of Wedgwood. This is, I guess I hadn't been following this as closely. I knew it was up for being, you know, renovated, but this is a massive renovation with, you know, again, a walkable path on the north side, another path on the south side, sidewalk on the side. This is a big project, right?
Yes, it is. But actually, the scope has changed significantly. So back in 2007, when this project was first looked at, the traffic volumes have not increased. As they were originally forecasted to make it a five-lane project. And I would say part of that is the neighborhoods are pretty stable there. And also on the north side of that road, they're all schools, right? So they only have so much capacity themselves. And so that's why I think you haven't seen the traffic volumes increase significantly. So the new scope is to design a three-lane and have it, you know, and then on the three-lane, it would have, like you said, the 10-foot path, and you would have walking paths and make it, you know, just a better place in terms of a safer street for all the residents and students and then the businesses, like you mentioned, that are on the south side of the corridor.
Now, Longleaf, again, one time, and I thought this was connected to a lot of the theory behind what went on at Wedgwood, the theory was to expand that in width and then to make a connector that would go all the way over to, like, U.S. 29. Wasn't that kind of the original plan? Because it sounds like if we're only committing to three lanes, then we've abandoned that plan entirely. Am I wrong?
No, I would not say that you've abandoned that plan, but what I would say is I think the connector piece is extremely problematic. Just because of the properties that you would have to obtain in that corridor. And so I think you're years away from getting that connector.
Okay.
I don't think it's been abandoned, but I do believe that for the purposes of that Longleaf is serving, even for the foreseeable future, the three-lane will be sufficient.
All right. And at the very least, we're not aiming at the connector anymore, even though it might be an option down the road. So, okay, very good. Very good. Now, I know this isn't your project, but I'm still kind of curious about it. The FDOT proposal that they had a town hall about this week regarding the widening of I-10 to six lanes all the way from U.S. 29 west to the Alabama border, that's fine. The thing that keeps attracting my attention is putting this diverging diamond interchange in at both Pine Forest and now also at 9 Mile.
Yeah.
And God, for the folks on 9 Mile, I keep thinking, really, can we not just finish one and let it sit for a while before we rip up that whole intersection and go again? But can you help me out? Has FDOT talked a lot with you guys in the county and traffic to figure? I mean, what's the prospect of that actually happening?
I don't know about the prospect, and particularly because of the, you know, just funding sources for federal transportation projects.
Sure.
But, you know, what I would say is that we do have a serious problem in terms of exiting off of I-10 onto 9 Mile Road and the backup there.
Yeah.
So we are trying to have a conversation with them to see if there's any chance DOT could go on and get us a substantial right turn lane like they have over there for Avalon. You know, for the bridge. I mean, it is a very dangerous situation if you are getting off of the interstate to get toward Beulah in the afternoons or in the mornings if you're, you know, heading into Navy Federal. And so we're concerned about the citizens and their experience getting off there.
Okay, so that's a sort of a different slice of that problem, which is trying to give a safety extension on the interstate, actually, for, you know, temporarily until we can get a traffic flow improvement onto the intersection itself, which a diverging diamond would be. I mean, no doubt, it definitely would improve that.
Correct.
So, all right, well, that's interesting. Have they told – where are they at in terms of making that available? Because you're right, that is a problem every day, or at least it was a problem before COVID, not as much now. But have they been receptive to that idea?
I've not gotten feedback yet, so that's what we're hoping. I'm hoping I still continue to, you know, try and make sure that we have conversations.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Last thing, I always like to give you a chance to ask me a question. Do you have one for me today, Janice?
I do. So, do you know the significance of April 8th to our region from a sports perspective?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Well, remember we talked about Hank Aaron after he passed not too long ago. He's a Mobile native. Well, April 8th is actually – I bet Davis knows this answer.
I know it's it's a baseball-related thing. It has to do with – does it have to do with the New York Yankees coming to town?
Oh, I bet I know what it is. Is it Hank Aaron's home run?
Yep, Hank Aaron's home run whenever he went past Babe Ruth.
Ah, okay.
It was 1974.
Mm-hmm. And I've actually got it. Started talking about it, I looked on my history of this day in history, and I saw that one there for 7:15. Go ahead though.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a big deal. And I think I mentioned to you before going and seeing Hank Aaron when I was a kid in the St. Louis Anheuser-Busch Stadium. And just what a big deal that was for my parents to take me and watch him play. And then whenever he made that in history, I was 9 years old, but I remember watching that replay several times, even back in the day, whenever they would, you know, put it on the sports and stuff like that, and how proud our region was that a hometown fella had surpassed that record in history.
Huge day in baseball history and national history for sure as well. Well, thank you for reminding me of that. I appreciate that. That's a good note. Janice Gillis, she is the Escambia County Administrator. The Escambia County Commission has a meeting today. Janice, have a good meeting. As always, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Y'all take care.